Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. We right here when they roll up, used to say they rolled up the streets in Haines City, but that's not true anymore. You can't hardly get through a red light before it changes three times anymore. Even in the summer, traffic's still holding, but the good part is we got more folks in the outreach of the gospel than ever before, amen? And our radio station, we debated here several years back, Brother Jeff Cruz can tell you, we debated about whether or not to try to find some way to extend the outreach of it even further. Well, several things has happened to where we don't really need to do that anymore. Number one, the population moved toward us, so we got more folks now within reach of it than ever before. And then the other thing, technology expanded us also. So anybody that really wants to hear us knows how to pick us up pretty much online or however they do it. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And when I first started preaching, your outreach was as loud as you could holler. That was it. If you couldn't holler across the street, they couldn't hear you across the street. But praise God, he makes good out of the world's evil sometime. I want you to open your Bibles, Revelation 16. I'm trying to get the last few verses of chapter 16 and start 17. We've been going chapter by chapter and verse by verse now for a long time through the book of Revelation. I've taught it a number of times in college and in church. But I'm telling you what, never have I seen it so close to being completely fulfilled as I see it today. And as we bemoan the fact of evil increasing everywhere we look and the shocking things, absurd things that are going on, perverted things, boy, it makes the book more precious to us because we find out who wins in the end, amen? We find out God's still going to have his way before it's over. And I hate to say it, but I think most of you know this, it's going to get a little worse before it gets better. And you and I are pretty much sheltered and blessed down here in Florida, in the middle of Florida, and one of the best counties in the state and best leadership in the state. And so we're getting by without being quite under the pressure some folks are in different parts of the world, different places. Brother Bert just talking about getting back from California. Watch him close. We'll see if any of that liberalism caught up with him while he was out there. Amen. But it's unbelievable some of the stuff that they're doing out there. And, of course, what they do there spreads across the nation. Already has pretty well spread across the nation. And it's a sad time. Brother David and I were talking about back there this morning about since they got rid of the more conservative leadership in Israel, got rid of Netanyahu, things are going fast to the left and liberal and perverted, and it's almost like slapping God in the face. Anything God said do, they will not do it, and what he said don't do, they will do it, and that's about what it amounts to. Well, let's catch up a little bit here. We're toward the end of the last few verses, and I've already mentioned them. But the book of Revelation, you've got to keep the continuity. I hate to compare it to this, but any of you remember algebra in school? Now, you don't remember much about it, I know. I got a passing grade barely. I come so close to failing that thing. And one of the reasons was I used to love to skip school. You cannot learn algebra unless you're there every day, because it progresses on just a little bit. And so that kind of handicapped me a little bit. I remember the school principal when he finally caught up with me, when I'd turn in these fake excuses, sort of like fake news today. Lies is what it was. And I got to where I could write Mama's signature just about as good as she could. Now, don't look at me like that. You never cheated none. You're not qualified to be saved till you find out you're a sinner, amen? He said to me, he said, you don't have any relatives left up in Georgia, do you? I said, why? Why would you say that? He said, because they've all died off. You've gone to so many funerals up there in Georgia. What he was saying to me was, you lying rascal, you, your uncle didn't die, and you didn't go to Georgia, you went fishing. Whatever, all right, I shouldn't confess that, all right. Revelation 16. Remember, we're at the end now of the tribulation period. You got to keep this in mind. Rightly dividing the book of Revelation, you start with chapter 1 and verse 19, where John's on the island and he's got the vision of to write the book of Revelation. God told him to write the things which thou hast seen. That was the vision. Write the things which are. Number 2, that was the church age, still going. Hey, it's still going right now. We're on the end of it. John was near the front of it. Amen. And then the third thing was the things that shall be hereafter. Now, we're studying the things that are hereafter in the book of Revelation from chapter 4 on. When John's caught up into heaven, I believe he's a great type of what we're listening and wanting to happen right now, and that's the rapture. He's caught up to the throne of God. He sees the 24 elders. He sees the Lamb that was slain and redeems us by his blood and having the right to take the seven seal book from the hand of him that sat on the throne. Then we begin to see the seals opened. And now we've come through the book of Revelation to where we're at the end and getting near to the end of the tribulation, which will end in the Battle of Armageddon. It's amazing how even secular literature, everywhere you turn around, every now and then you'll hear somebody even on the news say, Armageddon will be at the door. It is at the door, whether they know it or not. And it's the biblical one, not the one they're talking about, not the big war man's going to put together, but God's going to have his turn. As we are studying through chapter 16, we find out that there were seven angels that John saw with the last seven vials of God's wrath to pour out on the earth. It says in chapter 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great, marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. Emphasis on last. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. So these angels will begin to dump this wrath out on planet earth. It's a horrible time. For those that are going to be here, there'll be the Antichrist kingdom, those that have received his mark, following him, worshiping him, and finally God, that is so long-suffering and merciful and has come to the place that he's turned now, and he's letting the very evil fall back on their heads. He's plaguing them. And so that's what we're studying here as we near the end of chapter 16. Details about it. It is amazing how God is able to write in these 22 short chapters by using symbolic pictures. He is able oftentimes to get us to see a picture. Somebody said a picture is worth 1,000 words. Sometimes it's worth more than that. And that's what you have pictured here as we go through the book of Revelation. As we pick up here, and I'll pick up just a little bit where I left off, it says in verse 16, let's go back to verse 14. For they are the spirits, these three frogs here, typifying the satanic trinity, the dragon, the father, the beast, the son, and of course the false prophet, the Holy Spirit. You got the satanic trinity, evil trinity, even as you have the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so, this picture here, they come out and they gather the whole world, it says in verse 14, to the great day of God Almighty. And we find out it's called Armageddon in the Hebrew tongue, it says in verse 16. Hill of the Crowded is what it means, and it is the big valley. Generals of history have fought battles there. I told you last week, I believe it was Napoleon that said, as he looked on the Valley of Megiddo and where the Battle of Armageddon is described here, he said the armies of the whole world could gather here. Well, he was right. They are going to gather here. And all the nations are going to gather there to stop a space invasion. That's what they might call it by the time it gets here. It'll be the invasion of Jesus, the Creator, the Savior, coming back, leading the armies of heaven. That'll be the Battle of Armageddon here in verse 16. And it says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Talk about, I said this last week, biological warfare. All the COVID scare now and all that business. That's just a forerunner. Hey, folks, I hate to tell you this. I'm going to chase a rabbit here, but they're not going to let COVID ever get go. It's going to always be around. They're going to use it. They find out it's a tool. They keep the power with it. They keep the control with it. They keep the brainwashing going with it. And it'll help usher in the mark of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. If you've paid any attention to the news, even this week, they're increasing the pressure now to mandate the vaccines. I actually saw this on the news. Not only trying to vaccine be given to almost infants, young babies, which have, I mean, it's ridiculous. But did you see where they were giving the vaccine to the animals in the zoo? Anybody else see that? I see one hand, two. Animals in the zoo. Gorillas. tigers. I wouldn't want to be the one administering the vaccine, would you? But they've gone crazy with it. This is what government does. They go to the extreme, to the ridiculous. And to vaccinate kids is dangerous because they're not in any danger to start with. But all this is coming now. The type that we're seeing, the picture of forcing you to have a paper to get on the airplane to show you've got a passport or something else that you've been vaccinated, all that business, that's control, 100% control. And the pressure they're putting on now. Now, what some of the liberals don't understand, they use public stigma, social stigma, to make you feel ashamed if you didn't take it. Well, I got news for them. There's a pile of people that won't work on. It sure don't work on me. if you were, well, you know, they're going to accuse me of spreading the disease that killed Grandma. Well, if you want to believe the lie, go ahead. That's part of the Antichrist kingdom that's coming in right now. But to keep control and to manipulate you, and I know a lot of folks listening to me on the radio, but you need to remember something. I just retired. Take it up with Brother Parsons. I'm joking at him a little bit. He'll handle you all right, and I think he's capable. But the truth of the matter is, this mark of the beast is going to be just like that. It'll run in parallel to what you're seeing right now. The pressure would be on the population. You can't buy or sell. In other words, you can't be a citizen. You can't be accepted in society. Your neighbor's going to be mad at you. Somebody asked me last week, a good Bible student, one of our members. He said somebody said that it didn't matter if you took the mark or not, you could still be saved. Well, that's not what the book of Revelation says. It makes a clear choice between those that'll take it and those that'll die before they'll take it. There'll be folks in the tribulation period that'll get saved, but it'll be those that didn't hear and reject the gospel during the gospel age, during the church age. And it'll cost them their life if they're caught without the mark. We've studied that already. The method of killing is chopping off their heads. And we've run across that in Revelation 6 and followed up on it in chapter 20. Jumped ahead to chapter 20. Show that it was a guillotine type or sword cutting off the heads. I keep referring to this, but I can't hardly get over it. We have states in America right now that are storing up guillotines, and I checked it out. That's not a rumor. That's not an internet conspiracy fake thing. It is actually true. We've got guillotines being stored legally by state governments in America. Somebody's got big plans for the population to come. Part of what's behind all this COVID and vaccine business is there's a lot of folks that think planet Earth is overloaded and we've got to get the population thinned out. Book of Revelation tells you it is going to be thinned out. There's about a third going to die real soon in the tribulation period. But There's a pile of people out there. And by the way, the ones that pushing the vaccine, Linda, Bill Gates, the African lady over there, one of the African nations, she exposed the fact they were trying to get them to take the vaccine over there, even before this COVID vaccine got prepared. And she checked into it and found out that in the vaccine, it would make the people sterile, where they couldn't have the babies. Little dirty secret there going on. But that's been around for a long time. I mentioned to you the guide stones up in Georgia, where there's a place you can go and see these big standing up monuments out of stone. Mystery about who put them there, but they're a site you can go to. It's up somewhere not too far from Atlanta, 2 or 3 hours, I guess. And they're built on the same formula or the same picture of the Stonehenge in London or in England. And it's all by the crew that wants to thin the population of the earth. So it's got instructions on those stones. You can go see it. You can get in your car and drive to it. They want you to see it, telling you that the planet Earth can only sustain so many people, and we're overloaded. My answer to them is, all right, you go first. Amen. You be the first one to jump out of the airplane. See, they've taught that in our school for a number of years. Oh, I'm rambling. I'm going to get back. I can't get out of chapter 16 because you keep stimulating me to go other places. Years ago, I come here first Sunday, 1971. I was the official pastor. Within 2 to 3 years of that, I remember preaching against what was being introduced, and we actually got some of it stopped at that time, introduced into the public schools. Boy, what's being introduced now is something else. And it was bad back then when it got started, but one of the things they were teaching a course in school called MACOS, M-A-C-O-S, and MAN. It was a study, basically the same junk, same crowd, of taking care of the planet. The planet was God, so to speak, and we were mistreating it. We were mistreating it by overloading it with population and using up its resources. So they taught this example. There was a family, I guess it was Eskimo family, out on a boat, stranded on a boat. And they had the mama, the daddy, and the kids, and the grandma. So the kids being taught in the classroom had to make this choice. Now, I was preaching about against this in 72, 73. The kids had to have a question on the test as who ought to be thrown out of the boat so the rest of them could live. Well, you know, you put that, you know, grandma got thrown out. Amen. Because you're supposed to reason now. She don't have much time left. So we get rid of her, the rest of us can live. Now that's the theory behind this thing, taking the population off of Earth. We are just a spaceship, or all we are, going through space, and we're overloaded. We've used up our resources, and some of us ought to be honorable enough to jump off. That's the theme behind it. I'm not stretching that a bit. That's the bottom line of what they've been teaching. And I got so mad back then, I might not have had quite as big a microphone as we do now, but I still hollered as loud as I could about that thing. They give the kids a choice. It was anti-Americanism. See, like right now, if you're hearing the news, this flag's offending people. You seeing that? Well, it started a long time ago. I'm talking about 73. They asked a question on the test in the curriculum in the public schools. I'm not saying every public school got into it, but that was what they were pushing. Just like they're pushing that curriculum now on critical race theory, which is making kids be judged by what color they are. Oh, it's crazy. It's really bad right now. Some parents are standing up. I pray they will. But as far back as then, they had a question on the test because I had one of our kids come to me and show it. The question was, Which would you do if you were given a choice? You had to do one or the other. Which would you do? Would you stomp on the American flag, or would you eat a bite of human flesh? Now see, biting human flesh would be repulsive, naturally, of course. So they give you such an awful choice, naturally the kids go say, I'd rather stomp on the flag than eat a mouthful of human flesh. Kid come to me and say, preacher, how would you answer that? I said, right on there, neither one. You don't have to do neither one. And so a lot of preachers spoke out against it back in those days, but look how it's grown since then. Look how it is grown. And I feel sorry for the godly teachers that are trying to teach kids right instead of this junk that's being pushed on them today. But some of them having to go to court over it if they don't teach the party line, so to speak. That is terrible. What's that got to do to Revelation 16? It's pushing us right there. That's where we're at. And so God's wrath is finally beginning to fall here. And he's falling on them. Now, we're going to set the stage here in these last few verses for the destruction of the great city, far as defining who the great city is. Now, a lot of natural phenomena is taking place. Great earthquakes, it says in verse 18, earthquake greater than any that ever happened before. And it is an interesting thing now as we get to the question of verse 19, the great city, who was it? The great city was divided. The great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations, that's plural, fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So the Antichrist kingdom, the mark has been given. If you turn back to chapter 14, look in verse 8. I brought up the question a while ago, could a person be saved if they've taken the mark? According to the Bible, they will not be. Revelation 14, pick it up with me. There followed another angel, verse 8, saying Babylon is fallen. Now, this is advanced. We're going to get the details here in chapter 17. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fornication is a sexual term. Of course, closely related with adultery and the worst. And the Antichrist kingdom and Babylon tied together here with all of this. And it says, and the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, and now here's the answer to the question of the mark. If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same, the one that received the mark, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Don't sound like he got saved to me. If he took the mark. Now, we also studied already how that God plagued man that took the mark with a sore. We theorize that the very mark itself may become infected because God's judgment is on it. And so God's at war with the Antichrist kingdom. He's at war with those that are worshiping the beast and taking his mark. And this is the crowd left on earth after you and I believe we've been caught up with the Lord around chapter 4, verse 1. Tribulation breaking loose on earth, as God so long predicted in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 30, the day of Jacob's trouble. Jesus said, Matthew 24, trouble like the Jewish nation had never had before. That's a bad time falling on earth. Now as we get to chapter 16, we're at the end of it. God's wrath is coming back. The battle of Armageddon is being prepared for. The nations are going to gather in the Valley of Megiddo. They're going to try to stop Christ from coming back and taking his creation over and becoming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Oh, it's going to be a shock to this world when Jesus takes over. Because everything now is against anything spiritual, biblical. It is amazing. My wife called me this morning while I was shaving, getting ready. She said, come in here. And I walked in. She was showing me the ticker tape on the TV, wherever she had it there. And it was saying that funeral homes were a con because they were teaching immortality. In other words, they're making money off the fact folks think they might get to see their loved ones again. This is a crazy world, folks. It has gone so absurd and ridiculous now till you can't imagine what they're going to think up next. Just an attack on anything godly, anything right, anything biblical is going on right now. And, of course, it's the crew that's in power today. We warned if they got in power what they'd do. Quite frankly, they've done worse than I thought they would, quicker than I thought they would, much quicker. And it's not going to improve until I believe Jesus is going to have to be the only one can fix it. I really think his return is very, very close. Let's look here in the last few verses of chapter 16. And it says here, the cities are going to fall. The great city, Babylon's going to fall. And it says in verse 21, there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, we've all been in a hailstorm. I had a car many years ago in fact, I kept on driving it, but that hailstorm I got in sure dented up pretty bad. And we've all had that kind of experience. Farmers know what a hailstorm can do to a crop. It can beat it to pieces. That same storm, it got my car, messed up my shingles on the roof at the house. I mean, I wasn't in it. We were on a trip, and I got back and found all that, and found several folks here in town got the cars messed up. I don't know. Folks said it was the size of golf balls. That's pretty big. What we mostly all have seen have been about like your thumbnail most of the time, and that does enough damage. But when it gets on up big, it really does. And yet there's been in the news, and some of you have seen some of the pictures where hail come down size of baseballs, and that really would do something. This talent here, it says that about the weight of a talent, you figure that out by the scales, and that's 8 pounds. Now, 8-pound ice ball falling out of heaven would come right on through this roof. I mean, that is disaster anywhere. Any army that might be camped out under canvas would be destroyed if 8-pound snowballs, not snowballs, but ice balls, the difference in an ice ball and a snowball, you do know that, don't you? The weight of it. And yet God's used that before. He used it in the book of Joshua to help Joshua win the battle, remember? He's predicted in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 36 through 38, that when the coalition of nations come against Israel on the mountains of Israel, God's going to drop hailstones on them. And I figured that one up by scale years ago, and it was more like 50 pounds, not 8. Can you imagine that? Something happened over here in Tampa a number of years ago. Some of you might remember this in the news, right in the middle of the city. People had their cars parked along in front of the stores. And an ice block fell out of heaven and hit a car, and it showed it on the news that night. It crushed that top of that car right on down to the floorboard. And there was all kind of theories. Why did an ice block come down? Where did it come from? They checked with the airlines. They said, well, some airline must have dumped out a bunch of water and it froze up there and come down. They never did give a definitive answer to what it was. When Brother Earl Lee sat back there, remembers when we were in Moscow back in the early 90s, wintertime, and all those tall buildings, tall buildings that makes this look like a pygmy right here. I mean, way up there, going on up into the clouds. And it was wintertime and overcast. And you'd walk on the sidewalks, icy, snow, and all that. But you'd see signs on the building warning you to stay away, not walk close to the buildings, walk further out from the buildings. Because chunks of ice, if the weather warmed a little bit, or the heat in the building maybe, would cause the ice hanging on the eaves of the building, overhangs of the building, to drop and kill people while we were there. According to their news, they had several folks killed by falling ice, and that was a common thing, Now, I took them at their word. And the trouble was, when you're in a crowd sometime, it's pretty hard, you know. The traffic's over here, the building's over here, and a bunch of people. A little bit difficult to be careful. But then you'd see on the sidewalk where a block of ice had fallen and just shattered everywhere. You could see how it could kill someone falling off of a 200-foot building up there, whatever it was in height. I believe it was that high. And so God can use phenomena that man can't use. Joshua asked the sun to stand still, and folks still arguing over that. But God made the earth, can make it do what he wants it to, the universe or anything else, under his control. And so he can bring a miracle. A miracle is when man can't explain it by his natural laws, but God is not bound by the laws of physics like we are, of course. So as we near the end of chapter 16 here, we're seeing God pouring out his wrath on the kingdom of the Antichrist near the end of the tribulation period, which will end with the Lord Jesus coming back from heaven. We'll get to chapter 19. We'll study it in detail. Coming back, leading the armies of heaven with the purpose of setting up his kingdom on earth. Now, a lot of churches, I'd call them liberal, doctrinally wrong, have been praying all these years what they call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. I wonder how many folks pray that without believing it. But his kingdom is coming. His will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he is going to set up his kingdom. And the Bible tells us God's going to show who is the only high potentate. Psalms 2 says he's going to sit on Zion's hill. The nations will rage about it. They'll fuss about it. But God the Father is going to show that God the Son is King of kings and Lord of lords. And they can abuse all they want to today, pervert and criticize all they want to today, and boy, we're seeing it increasing. He is still going to be enthroned and recognized as King of kings and Lord of lords. So as we get into chapter 17, now I'm going to propose a question for you to pray about and think about. I'm going to approach it just a little bit different. I have I'm not changing anything that I believe about it. It's not a long chapter. It's only about 18 verses here. And the theme, of course, has already been hit on several times in the book of Revelation. We just saw it here in the last few verses. It's called the Great City, and it's called Babylon. And we're going to answer the question, and I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. No, I'm not going to test you. Don't stay home next week because the preacher's going to give you a test. No. Just think on it by just reading the verses. If you were fourth grader, I hope you could read in the fourth grade. Let's move it up a little bit, maybe not. If you were sixth grader, and you could read, and all you did was just read these 18 verses. You didn't have a preacher telling you what he thinks it says, but just reading them and thinking about them. And answering the question, what is the great city? Can we identify the great city, the one that's under God's judgment here, that's going to fall in chapter 17 and 18? Just as a sixth grader would read it, and maybe he knows a little history by this time, should. If you went to a Christian school, you'll know more. But answer the question for yourself. What conclusion would you come to? Let me say to you, look for this. As you read chapter 17, identifying this great city, you will find her location is given. That's important. You'll also find her colors. Call them decorations. Identifying symbols. They're given. Also, you'll find her actions throughout history are given. And if you can't recognize it from all that, I think you're in a heap of trouble. You'll make Joe Biden look smart. All right. You know my opinion on that. Only thing is, I don't want to be too critical because I recognize some of the moments he have myself now. We used to say I had a senior moment. Now I say I had a Joe Biden moment. All right, I got off on that. You just forgive me there. But truth, just a face value reading. Just if you were a sixth grader and you'd never been to church, but you knew some history, world history, reckon you could identify from the clues that are given here in this chapter, this is what the city is. I think you could, but I'm going to leave off there, and we'll hopefully start on it next week. All right, let's have the report here. All right, 96, 76. Anyway, that's pretty good still for the dead of summer and the COVID scare still going and all that. Stay with us 7 or 8 minutes, and we'll have the preaching service started.